Hi, as I say, Sandy's in the nursery, should be out here. We were honored to listen to four ministers that have went out into the world and to learn about the persecuted church and what's going on. But the more the enemy comes against the church, the more the church prevails. Isn't that awesome? And we know that, amen. David, you want to go ahead and put the scriptures up? So I don't think that, and then this young man that has that tape and you can get it, and he has a ministry in the States, and he ministers to the Iranian people from the States, because if he goes back there, he will be arrested and probably die. So anyway, the one thing they kept saying over and over again, we need your prayers. We need your prayers. And I think if it was a wake-up call to me, it was to really pray faithfully. You know, instead of God bless all the persecuted church. Have you guys prayed like that before? You know, God bless everybody on earth. But you don't really get down to business and say, God bless these people. And I want you today, you know, pray and ask God, you know, what country should I diligently pray for? Because I think that we need to center in on a country that God puts on your heart. But God is moving. God is moving. And no matter how much the enemy suppresses the truth, God just comes up stronger and stronger. And I want to share a couple of things. We had a minister that ministered on India. As a matter of fact, he works for the martyred, persecuted church. And he has all of India, all of the, just almost all of the East except China. And what he talked about yesterday was about India and how the persecution, and I put this in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago about that. They have a new prime minister, relatively new, that has come in. Ever since at eight, he joined this brotherhood in its fanatical Hinduism. And as a matter of fact, he has bragged, his people have bragged, his leadership, that within 3 years there will be no more Christians in India. Well, pity them, because there will probably be many, many more times Christians in India than they've ever been. Amen. And the same thing, this is really neat. The brother from China, and I have some stuff up here, and also when I get through reading my Voice of the Martyrs, I put them back there, so if anybody wants to take them and read them, every month it's on a different country, like Yemen, last month maybe it was India, but every time you read it, you think, God, can it get worse, you know, because these people are really suffering. I mean, this is a big, when they accept Jesus, they give it all. Okay, these are some things. I have 10 ways to pray for our persecuted family. I don't have a lot of these, but anybody that wants them. And then I have some of these, which is the same thing. Pray for the persecuted Christians. Ways to pray for our persecuted family. And all of this stuff up here. I have a couple of these books, Tortured for Christ. The Persecuted Church, the Voice of the Martyr, was started by Reverend Richard Wombrand, and he was a Romanian Jew that was converted during World War II. He and his wife started preaching the gospel. He became an evangelist. When the communists came in, they arrested him. He was in a prison, tortured for 14 years. And in December, I think it's December the 5th, the first Sunday of November, we celebrate the International Day of Prayer for the Voice of the Martyrs. And we will have a clip by his life. And it is so awesome, because they showed it to us yesterday. And he, oh my gosh, it's just unreal. One of the ways they tortured them is they beat their feet. They beat their feet until he never walked like he should after they got through, because it was years and years and years of torture. And when he got out, he came to the States. He went before Congress, took off his shirt, showed them his back where he had been beat for so many years and what he had went through. And then he started this work, which it went on. It's 50 years old this year. And he and his wife since then have went on to be with the Lord. She was in prison in hard labor. She was also a prisoner and was put in hard labor. And she has a book that talks about her life. And it's really awesome, because it makes you realize how, you know, he didn't think it was a bad thing that he suffered for the Lord. Amen? Amen. This is the guy that we heard. And he has the music out, and you can go online and order it. But he talked about his father, who was martyred in Iran at 17, and we'll hear about that later. But he was an awesome young man, and he and his family now are living in Los Angeles. His mother got out, his sister got out. His older brother was martyred also. But the rest of them were able to get out, and he can never return, obviously. But he has, until the breakthrough, there's a great revival sweeping Iran. It is just really amazing. The Irani people are Persians. They are not Arabs however you say that, Arabic. Yeah, and they consider themselves a higher class. And you go back to Esther, Mordecai, Daniel, that's where all of that took place. And so the Persian people, but they, even though they are Muslim, they are a different type of Muslim, and they are, many, many, many are disenchanted over the whole system, and they are coming to Christ. And they have, because of, because of the computer and et cetera, he ministers right to, isn't that great technology, the stuff that you can live in the United States and minister to those people in Iran? And you know, it's just all of the, it's awesome, yeah, what they're doing. So many, many are coming to Christ. He said, and he was a praise and worship leader yesterday, Gilbert is his name. But anyway, he said, let's really, really make a lot of noise. He says, in Iran, they have home groups, which is like no more than 10 or 12. And they have to have facetious names because they don't dare let their real name be known. They can't talk or praise very loud because their neighbors might report them to the police. So it's a very quiet little group that meets. They can't really interact with each other because of that. So you know, they don't know each other as Christians. And they have to be very careful because of the secret police. And he was talking about, he wrote a song, one of the songs in here, which is... A letter from prison. One of his best friends was arrested. He and his wife was put in prison for 7 years, and he wrote this letter, a letter from prison. And it's really neat. It really touches your heart. So he said that he was, as a young man, he was 17. His father was a minister, an evangelist, and his their church grew from like one person to like 1,000. It was one of the biggest churches in Iran. And his father began to speak out for other Christians that were being persecuted. And there was his brother that was of the high class of Iranis. Like his descendant was from Mohammed. So this guy was really looked up on. Well, he becomes a Christian. So, I mean, they arrest this guy. They put him in jail. And they're going to put him to death. He gets a death sentence. And Gilbert's father begins to put out all these messages around the world, you know, this is what's going to happen. So this man, the Iranian government came back and said, oh, it was all a mistake. We didn't mean it. We would never kill him. He's a good guy. Yeah, you know, he's a descendant of Mohammed. We're not going to kill him. So he was set free and was able to leave the country. But in place of it, they killed his father. And so his father became a martyr and his brother. So anyway, one of the songs he talks about is He Forgave Them, and it's really a beautiful song. Oh, thank you. You do get thirsty up here for some strange reason. But anyway, let's go to the scriptures. David, you have the scriptures up? Okay, let's read Psalms 83, 1 and 2. It says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a turmoil. And those who hate you have lifted up their heads. So we know that the enemy is busy. The enemy is busy all over the world. There are over 100 million Christians that are being persecuted today. Over 60 countries. So it says, do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. And do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a turmoil. And those who hate you have lifted up their heads. So we see this in the world today, that the enemies of Jesus have lifted up their heads. And they are very busy. But guess who is busier? Our God. Amen. And David cries out, says, do not be silent, O God. Do not hold your peace. Well, God isn't holding his peace. He is going forth. And the Hebrews 13:3 says, remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, since you yourself are in the body also. And this is sort of the head verse for the persecuted churches. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. And again, you know, over and over they said, pray for us, pray for us, pray for strength. Because these people are going through so much. And also in our own country, which is, you know, we have so much freedom and we are so grateful. I was just listening to this religious news thing. And one of the judges that Trump has tried to put into office, and she's a lady, and she's a Catholic, And she's a practicing Catholic. And because she is a practicing Catholic in the United States of America, they are giving her all sorts of problems. Because she is a religious bigot, they don't know if she should serve as a judge. Can you believe that in our country? In our country. So it is happening here. But it's okay because she isn't giving up, and you know, God isn't giving up. And what they bought out in this meeting so much was that persecution brings revival. Persecution brings revival. And the more the church is persecuted, the more it rises up, and the more God does. Amen. So we know the enemy is moving. We know God is moving, but where are we? Amen. It was like the song, send me, send me, send me. Are we willing to go? Are we willing to do anything? So, and if we can't do, you know, we say, what can we do? You know, what can I do? Well, Jesus gives us this little story, and he says, you know, that if you give a cup of water in my name, I can do a lot with that cup of water. So even though we might not be able to give a lot, maybe you can't give a lot financial, maybe you can give a donation to the persecuted church, I don't know. But you can pray. We can all pray. And what I want to really emphasize this morning is that especially God has been talking to my heart that we need to pray seriously. We need to get down to business. The Lord has really been dealing with me, I think because of all the storms we had, because of Harvey and then Irma that was in the that came up our way almost, but anyway, it's peace. You know, peace. God wants to put that in our heart, amen. That even in these times of trouble, and we know that the times of trouble are even going to come more, amen. That God wants to give us peace. So in the storms, wherever we are at in that storm in our life, whatever situation we are in, God wants to give us peace. And as we pray for the persecuted church, let's pray for peace for them. Amen, that God can give them peace and God can give them joy. There was a brother that talked about India. And India, I think I had mentioned before, is under great persecution and seems like it will only get worse before it gets better. It's the largest democracy on earth. It is over 1 billion people, and it is a democracy. So how this man got in, I do not know, but obviously he's in there now, so we just need to really pray that even in that situation, these people will survive. They not only will survive, but they'll prosper. And they talked about all of these people. India is still a very, very poor nation, and one of the groups that has come to the Lord is they're very, very low in the caste system. They still travel around in tents, and then this one group of family. There were 500 families in this one group. A big family, amen. A big family. So anyway, this one guy in this family gets saved. Only one guy of the 500 families. And so they beat him up and they put him in jail. And one of the jailers said, well, I have a Bible here. Would you like to have a Bible? Yeah, I would like to have a Bible. So he's got a Bible. So now he's preaching to everybody else in prison. And they say, well, we'd all like Bibles. You know, so they all somehow got Bibles. So when he left, he had converted almost the whole jail. And he went back, and of his 500, I guess there's 500 in the group, two hundred have become Christians in that little group. Amen. So isn't that great? So persecution does bring blessings. The Chinese brother, and I'll have to... He is God's double agent. This is really neat. Anyway, he was raised in tremendous poverty for a living. He didn't have a father. For a living, his mother supported the family by begging. He grew up in that situation where she begged to keep her kids alive. So they were very poor, but he was very smart. And he ended up in the university, the largest university in China. This is really a neat story. And he gets saved. The missionaries there, well, they're not really supposed to be missionaries. The English teachers that have come over from America to teach their Chinese English are Christians. And they start feeding him information about God. And he becomes a Christian. He's the only Christian in the whole group. But he becomes on fire for God. Pretty soon, there's thousands of them saved. You know, just revivals. So they arrest him. And put him in jail, and in his block thing, they have to sit down every day. And let me show you. They're sitting down, and they have to sit like this all day for however many hours He has nothing to do but sit there. So he starts preaching. He starts saying scriptures. So they take him out and they say, you can't do that. So they beat him up. Can't do that anymore. That's not allowed. So he goes back. And so the next day they drag them all out and they're all sitting there with their hands. And he says, well, I start singing. So he's singing. Pretty soon the whole bunch of them are singing. And they're singing to Jesus, right? And so they take him out. They beat him up. And they say, you're not allowed to do that. And so the next day he comes, and he's very creative. And so he goes, he hums the song. So they're all humming together. And so pretty soon the whole block of prisoners are singing and praising the Lord. And they're really, really angry with him. But so it was, and they showed a picture of him getting baptized and his girlfriend before they get married is baptized. So it's so neat because God is so good. And these people, and he is so in love with Jesus. And also China, let me bring this out before I forget. The Chinese government has passed a law that will go into effect next year, next February, that will be tremendously hard on the Christians. It's about, you know, it's worse than they've ever had before. So it's going to be, he said, a really, really hard time for the Christians there in China. But he said, never fear when that happens. He said, God will just, revival will break out, and it will, and instead of quenching the gospel, it will spread. And, you know, so let me give you these statistics. It is, 1967, there was 1 million Christians in China. Now, he said, this is after all the years, the hundreds of years that the missionaries have been there. They have worked all these years. The missionaries have been thrown out of China. This is in 1968, they figured out, I don't know how, because it was, you couldn't be a, let anybody know you were a Christian, but they figured out that there were 1 million Christians in China. So they took all the Bibles, they burned them, they persecuted all the Christians they could, and by 1982, they believed that there were 4 to 5 million Christians in China. It had multiplied through the persecution. They'd been persecuted ever since the communists took over, but it had multiplied because of this direct persecution. So you can't stop it. And they believed, listen to this, they believed that if the Christianity in China continues at the speed that it is going at today, by 2030, there will be over 200 million Christians in China. Amen, 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 amen. And maybe more, if, as they say, this persecution is coming. So they expect more Christians. So it's so different because going back to the brother in Iran, Gilbert, he said that when he was saved as a young man, he thought everybody on earth was persecuted for being a Christian. Because they were persecuted, he just presumed that everywhere, you were under the same persecution. And he said that as young men, they prayed that God would send persecution to them because that would mean that God loved them more than anybody else. And so, you know, total different from our Western thinking. God bless us. Don't ever let anything come against us. You know, we want to have a Rolls Royce, live in a $1 million home. This is God's blessings. Do not persecute us, Lord. But anyway, so he was praying for persecution. And he said, God sent it. He finds himself in jail being persecuted. So anyway, it's just, you know, the thinking, they think different than we. They expect persecution. They know it's coming. So when it comes, they're not like, oh my God, what are you doing? And not that it's easy. It is not easy, but they do it. Amen. So they believe that the more persecution, the more Christians that will be there. So it's, pray for China. Pray for the Chinese Christians. Just this last week, or maybe it was a week before, another thing China is doing is sending missionaries all over the world because God has sent them to go out in missionaries of the world. And so a couple of young people were in Pakistan. The lady was 26, the young man was 24, and they were killed for Christ. They found their bodies. So they are the latest martyrs coming from China. But think of the seed that's been sown. Amen. Amen. So, yes.
I heard my Fairfield church talking about they sent some missionaries out.
Well, good.
But I don't think they were going to China.
Okay, all right. You don't think they were going to send China. This girl was really praising the Lord earlier. Amen. So, okay, I've covered India. covered Iran quite a bit. Okay, and China. But, you know, the Lord just, let's go to the other slide, David. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 9 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Aren't those awesome verses? We are hard pressed on every side. And that happens to us too. We also, you know, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Matthew 10:28-31 says, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? Are not one of them, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will, but the very hairs of your hair are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Thank you. Isn't those comforting verses? Amen. Are we not worth more than many sparrows? So God knows where we're at. God is on our side. And he might allow persecution, but it's always for a purpose. It's always for gain. And I wanted to share that with you guys. So let me go over my notes really big, so I don't want to forget anything. But there are over 100 million Christians being persecuted in 60-plus countries today. More Christians martyred than any time ever before in the history of the world. I think the thing that that I got out more than anything of the conference was to pray. Pray, pray, pray. As a body, as a church, to pray. And there is a website that you can go to, and it's icommittopray.com, on lowercase. icommittopray.com, and they give you all sorts of people to pray for, and they give you like the little story why you should be praying for them, what they're going through. I looked it up last night, and it's really a neat site to go to. So remember that, icommittopray.com, and that's what we need to do. Amen, guys. Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Would you wait and talk to Sister Claudia later? We'll talk a whole bunch. All right, thanks. Okay, going back, the enemy is moving. We know God is moving. Are you moving? Are we moving as a church? And God really wants us to be aware of these brothers and sisters that are suffering so much. Why? And like I was saying, you know, God had really been ministering to me about peace. You know, as these storms are out there, speak to those storms. Speak to them and say, peace be still. The storms in your own life. And if you were like me, you had some storms last week, right, Bobby Jean? We had some storms that arose in our lives, and we will probably have some storms next week, because we're living in a world that has a lot of storms that come in. And whether your storm is a hurricane that you know that goes on for seemingly ever, or an earthquake that comes in and you think, God, you know what happened? Our tornado. But don't these things come into our life? And we're just like, sometimes we're knocked off of our bearing and we think, God, what are you doing here? We find ourselves in the hospital for 2 or 3 weeks and we don't know why. How did this happen? Amen. But God works it all out if we turn to him. And that is a secret. We need to turn to Jesus. We need to turn to Jesus. Okay, going back, folks, about 15 years, do any of you remember an incident where there was a missionary couple in the Philippines. We're really going back. I bet they're still there out there, the Philippines. And this couple was an American missionary couple, and they had went, it was their 18th anniversary, and they went to this resort. The resort was taken over by radical Islam group, and they were taken, kidnapped, and it was like 15 years ago. Anyway, they were taken for a year. They were in the Filipino jungles with this group of men, and they, in the end, her husband was killed. She was shot. Her husband was killed, and she was there, and she talked about the Philippines, what's going on there, how God is moving. She talked about her year plus in captivity with this group of Islamic radicals. They wanted ransom. They got ransom. Then they decided it wasn't enough ransom, so they called back. When they left, they broke into their hotel room in the middle of the night and took them all off. She didn't have shoes that were proper. They're walking in the jungle night and day, running from the military. They found an old pair of rubber boots for her to wear. Her feet were just bloody all the time, and she said that she was really praying, and the Lord showed her to wrap them in leaves. So she started wrapping her feet in leaves, and they slept on rice bags, and it wasn't nice. That was the only thing from the jungle floor and them was these old rice bags. And sometimes they had no food. They were tormented by their captives. And she was telling about what they went through during that year plus, and how God spoke to their hearts, ministered to them. They were filthy. They never had enough food. There was no water sometimes. Their captives were, it was just a horrible situation. And then in the end, her husband's killed. And she comes back to the States, and God has used her in ministry, and where she was able to tell the story of how God protected them and showed them through the year. It was very, very good. And what God is doing in the Philippines. And this group of young men, all the ones that were not killed the night that they were rescued, ended up in jail for life. And a missionary couple has been going into this prison. And out of the men that were left that did not die, 22 of them have come to the Lord. And she said she prayed, she prayed for them. You know, God saved them. And she said that she had forgiven them. So that was really good, too. She was very, very awesome. And her family now, instead of being little kids, they're all grown up. A couple of them are married. She has five, as a matter of fact, she has five grandchildren. So she, it was just the thing where, yes, God puts us in their situation. They were not kidnapped just because they were Christians. They just were at the wrong place at the wrong time. And when they found out who they had, they upped the price. But here they had these Americans, and it was all about money. They just wanted more money so they could fund their terrorist group. So the Lord, even in these situations, in this tremendous, tremendous persecution that some of these Christians, like the Iranian Christians, are under terrible persecution. The Chinese Christians, they all are. This one story, and it's so neat because it just shows how diligent these people are. This group went into, it was a village in Nepal, and they had heard that these people had never had a Bible, and so they were going to go preach to them and bring them Bibles. Well, they got to the village, and the people that were not at the people, most of the villagers weren't there. They were out working. But the ones that were there attacked them, spit on them, took their Bibles from them. And the day before they got there, they took the whole day to pray and fast so they could really get close to God. So when they got to the village, everything would go well. When they got to the village, they were mistreated. They were kicked out of the village. So was going down the road recouping and saying, God, what are you doing here? We fasted, we prayed, we felt like this is where you wanted us to go. And so they were just started praying and asking God, for direction. What should they do? What should they do? And they started to sing. Well, over there in the field, there were like 50 people over there working in this field. And then they heard all the music, and they stopped working, and they came. They wouldn't know what was going on. And they said, well, we're praising the Lord. We're here. It turns out the whole village that wasn't in the village was there working in the fields, and they brought them all to the Lord. They all became so even though it wasn't the way they thought it would turn out, it turned out right. So sometimes God has to use, he doesn't go our way, the way we think. This is the way it's going to work. We're going to go in this village. We've been fasting and praying. We know they're going to be ready. Well, they weren't ready there, but they were ready where they were supposed to be. So sometimes we have to just flow with God. Sometimes we have our plans. God has His plans. And God's plans always work out, right? Amen. So, learn to see what God is doing today in your life. And when the storms come, when the floods come, and we don't exactly know why, God wants to bring us peace in that situation. He wants to bring us peace. And I haven't even talked very long. Should I keep on going or? All right. Okay. So anyway, but it was a wonderful time of just getting to know what's going on in the world. And we need to know what's going on, because if we don't know what's going on, how can we pray? God wants us to pray. So remember, Hebrews 13:3 says, remember the prisoners as if we are enchained with them. And as brothers and sisters, we should be there. Amen? Amen. The message from the persecuted church is pray. Please pray for us. And go to that website that says icommittopray.com and get on there and just see, you know, well, who does God want me to pray for today? You know, and realize that God is moving. The enemy is moving. Amen. Go back to the first slide and we'll read those scriptures. It remembers Psalms 83, 1 and 2 says, "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God, for behold, your enemies make a turmoil, and those who hate you have lifted up their head." We have an enemy, and he is busy, but he is not more powerful than God. And God's will be done. Amen. God's will be done. We have a field out here, a harvest that's ready for harvest. And we need to say, God, where do you want me to go? Send me, God. Send me, like the song said. And I want to pray. Donna Carr has been going through this. She's been in pain with her back off and on for ages now. It just seems that she's getting very weary and worn out. And then Sister King is still taking her chemo. And my son Freddie is always in pain. There's so many people that, and I know that God is a healer. How many of you know that God heals? Amen. God heals. And so let's be diligent about praying that for people that we know, even in our own little group here, that is sick, amen, that needs God to heal them. And there are problems that we have that we need to pray for one another, amen, pray for one another. I don't know why some of the families aren't here today, but God knows. I think that, it's so easy to get sidetracked. It's so easy. But these people in these countries, they're serious. They're serious. Sometimes we and I'm not blaming anybody, but sometimes it's easier just to say, I don't want to go there. I'm too tired. And sometimes we are too tired. Our bodies are tired. We're worn out mentally, physically. We're worn out. And we say, all I need to do is get some rest. But God sometimes doesn't want us to rest. He wants us to push through, right? Amen. So let's not faint in well-doing, because God says we will reap in due season. There is a due season, and the season is now. Amen. This is the day of salvation. This is the time of salvation. The world, we know that Jesus is going to come back soon. I mean, how much worse can it get? Well, possibly it can get a lot worse, but we hope not. Amen. Amen. So Bobby Jean had her and family had home going for their relative this week, and there was a whole bunch of people down there on the river, and I claimed them all for Jesus, and they might have all been saved, but, you know, amen, amen. Because people, you know, there's a time, and I think it's now. We need to really pray, and it's, God, how can I witness? How can I be sensitive to what you're saying? Because I don't want to miss it, you know, I don't want to miss it. Occasionally I get it, but not a lot. Amen. Sometimes I think I miss it more than I get it. I had this situation with my car this week, and I think that I really listened to the Lord, because I have a problem with procrastinating, you know, putting it off, but it never works. If you guys ever notice that, it doesn't work. It still faces you. Whatever you try to put off, it still comes back and hits you in the face. My son, when I was out at Jay a couple of weeks ago, said, Mom, I think you need to check your back tire. And I'd gotten two new tires about a year and a half ago. So he said, but normally Russell does not think about cars anymore. I don't think does that. He just, so I thought, well, maybe. Then Michael came home from work and said, Mom, something is smelling, sort of smells in the back of the car. I don't know if brake fluid or whatever. So went by Terry. Terry checked it. And then I came home. And then it was like the Lord said, go down to the tire place, have them check, put it on the rack, see if they can see anything. Well, and then I went there, and they said, well, we are so backed up, but maybe an hour and a half or two. And this is on Wednesday afternoon. I'm thinking, oh, God, I don't have an hour and a half, 2 hours. And then it was like something said, just do it, just do it, just sit here. And I got to talk to this really sweet girl about the Lord, and we had a great time. And he came back and he said, I hate to tell you this, but it's a mess. It's really a mess. It just has to be done. You would never make it out to Jay. And so, but because I listened, thank you, Jesus, I saved myself a lot of trouble. Amen. What if I broke down on the way to Jay the next day and had to have my car towed in, the whole thing? So I'm just saying, I have really been striving to hear God's voice. What are you talking to me about? What do I need to listen to? That has nothing to do with salvation. But on the other hand, you know, it's hearing the voice of the Lord or hearing that still small voice. I want to hear God. I want to hear Him clearly. You know, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, we just pray for Donna. We pray for Sister Keene. We pray for the needs of this body, Lord. We thank you for being with Larry and Dana this morning as they were praising worship. We thank you, Lord, that you used them, and we thank you that they were blessed. We thank you, Lord, for being with those that are going through in Central and South Florida, the cleanup. Lord, we know how horrible that is. Lord, it was 13 years ago, I think, today that Ivan came through. We were there, Lord. We know how it is. Lord, those that are still doing that in Texas, Lord, we thank you for just healing your body, healing your church. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray, Lord, that there's a great harvest out there, a great end-time harvest, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that you will send us, that we will listen to your voice. That we will hear your voice when you speak to us, Lord. And we will be a soul-winning church. We will win people to you this year, Lord. And send us, Lord. Send us. And we thank you for revival, Lord. We thank you for revival. We praise you. We praise you. One of the things that they talked about was forgiveness. Because a lot of these people have went through a lot of stuff. And they've had to forgive. And the Bible says if we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. And I know that if you've lived longer than a month on this earth, you have had somebody done you wrong. Amen. Amen. And so it's to forgive. And I want to end this by this song this brother wrote. And it's on forgiveness. His father was martyred. His oldest brother was martyred. They were martyred for the gospel's sake. And in this song, he talks about forgiveness. And I want us, as we listen to this song, I want you guys to search your heart, even you young people, search your heart, because probably there's probably somebody that you could forgive also. But I really want you to search your heart, as this song is saying. And let God deal with you if there's somebody in your life that you really need to forgive. Maybe several people. Maybe situations. Amen. So I can't remember the name of the song. Doesn't matter. Also, I have some stuff up here. We have a couple of books of Tortured for Christ. You guys can take these home, read them, bring them back, or give them to somebody else to read. I have some other stuff up here. Any of this stuff is for you guys to take and enjoy. These are prayer cloths. This, you will notice, I got my band. Steve said, yay. This, I know, the persecuted church. Although ISIS is possibly the most evil organization on earth, or certainly ranks up there at number one, they did do one good thing, and that's acknowledge the Nazarene. If you are in a country where they overtake, and if you're a Christian and you want reneged, they're going to put this on your door, and it's going to say you are a follower of the Nazarene. And they're going to probably kill you. But there you are. You got your, there it is. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that some? No, but if need be, we would be, wouldn't we? Yes, we would be. So anyway, that's what this is. But these are prayer cloths. So here it says, pray for the persecuted church. Let me read this. It says, ask God to provide special courage, grace, and strength for those suffering right now. Pray for physical healing for those recovering from beatings and torture. Pray that every believer who needs a Bible will receive one. Amen. Amen. So, Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, that your church is a church that will never, the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church, and that your church will win, and that many, many, no matter what laws China passes, no matter what India does, no matter what these countries come up with, You will prevail. You will prevail. You will prevail. And we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you guys listen to this song, Portia, how are you doing back there? With the song. It's the fifth song. Where is David? Oh, okay. Please, honey. Yeah, where is he? Rick went home with a sick headache. I said, who's going to pray for me, Rick? I'll pray for you at home, he tells me. So then David leaves. So anyway, it's the fifth song there, and it's called Forgive. And as you listen to this song, I want us to really, really focus in on the Lord as we get it up. Pace Assembly has this neat trailer. I don't know if you guys have went through this thing, but it's awesome. And it's the people of the cross. And the whole thing is about the martyred church. And it's really awesome. It's like, wow. They say, as a matter of fact, they say, if you have little children, they probably shouldn't come through this. Because it's just really, yes, yes. And has all sorts of information about the persecuted church. Well, we might not be able to listen to this after all. But no, dear. Somebody else will do it. What? It's number 5. Yeah, well, he had pulled up, it says, I forgive you.